All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. All right, let's give our accountability sheets out in case you need one. Now, do everybody have the one we gave with the slide? Okay, that's the slide that we're using for James that we're going to move on with today. Some of them might not have none, brother. Okay. All right. We gave them out a while back. Yeah. All right, we'll go ahead and begin today. Okay. Now, you need to be with us tonight if be the Lord will. We're going to come to the patriarchal age, 50 chapters of the book of Genesis. 1,523 years that it took for the book, the patriarchal age, to go. From Adam to Exodus 1, children of Israel was in Egyptian bondage. So you want to be with us tonight. We're going to start that and we're going to hold off from giving you a sheet till we kind of catch up to where we are, okay? And then we'll go back on. So you want to be willing to bring your pad, pencil, marker, where you may be, so you can understand where we are in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. All right. Now, let's go ahead on and begin. James chapter 1:13, this morning, temptation and sin. And hope you denoted 1 John 3:4 somewhere in your Bible. 1 John 3:4, what sin is. James 4:17, to him who knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, as received the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So 1 John 3:4, James 4:17, and Hebrews 10:26. Kind of give us an abbreviation, a definition of what sin is. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. In relationship to the form of verbal form, that is, that when we are tempted, we are solicited to do evil. We are solicited to do evil. That's what the goal of the devil is. Let me give you a word you might want to look at in relationship to what he is saying here, that is something changed in our life. I like what Brother Frazier said in the prayer this morning. He prayed that this past week, that anything that in our life that may have been negative, and the reason why we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What Satan do? Satan solicit us to do evil. He did it to Jesus in Matthew 4. And that word that I want to give you is P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. M-E-N-O-S. Which is present passive active. That means that he's not in the past doing it. He's not in the future doing it, he's doing it right now. And what that word means. You ain't got to wait the next Thursday for him to do it. You ain't got to worry about him doing it yesterday, but he don't never stop doing it. He's always presently passive, and he's active. He's proactive with his drive to solicit us, to draw us to do wrong, to do evil. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. You know, you go to Genesis 3:12, when the Bible says, Adam and Eve said, I did eat, see, in relationship to something that was present. See, he said, listen to them. He took what he knew. He took all the avenues that he knew to significantly change him in order to seduce them. See, that's the reason why, brethren, we need to understand and go with me to 2 Corinthians. Hold your spot right there. See, when the Bible tells us to do something, it tells us to do something for a reason, amen. It just don't tell us to do things just because the Bible, it's just words in the Bible, amen. But when you go to 2 Corinthians 6, and I want you to see this here, this is a warning for us, amen, that sometimes we fail to understand, amen. 6:14, see, he talking about be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, when I had that business over there at Five Points, you'd be surprised at a number of businessmen came in my shop, and they knew me, and they knew we had a striving business, and they always wanted to go in partnership with me. And my answer to them always, well, I have a partner. You know, the partner is Doe of Aldo. It was Aldo, it was me and my wife. And I used to tell them all the time, I can't control what you do. Sometimes I can't control what Doe do. But at least I got better control over Doe than over you. And I never wanted to get in a situation whereby it was unequally yoked, whereby something that you get into that sometimes you can't control, it get out of hand. It's a situation that you're in it, you know, you're in it and you know you got to do it, but you just don't know how to handle it. And a lot of us have been in situations like that where we become unequally yoked together with unbelievers or those who, because see, they just don't think like we do. They just don't have the mindset like we do. See, you can't reason with a Christian because number one, the only reason that you can do with a non-Christian is what they need to do to be saved. And you can't reason nothing else with them. Because that's the first step. Because the next 21 books not applicable to them. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing that you can reason and pray for them about is what they need to do to believe and get saved in order to obey the gospel. Because you can't reason nothing else with them. Spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? Because see, they gotta get over that. So he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? And see those words, light with darkness, righteousness with unrighteousness. See, fellowship with unbelievers. Those are words that we need to understand because, see, that devil is always out there soliciting, amen. He's always out there drawing, all, amen. And if you put yourself in a situation where the devil is, well, what do you expect? You understand what I'm saying? If you're around people who are the devil nature, you're around people who are unbelievers, if you're around people who are darkness, what do you expect? See, and then it goes on to say, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part has he that believes with Infidel? Or what agreement has the temple of God? And by the word temple of God, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? See, that's what we are. We put the word in, amen. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I walk in them, and I will be thy God, and they shall be my people. But look at verse 17. This is the warning. He said, wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, said the Lord Almighty. And what he's simply saying here, brother, this is not a choice. This is a command. If you're going to be able to withstand the lust of sin and how sin works, because look here, sin is nothing but temptation, see, equal desire and opportunity. You're somewhere where you ain't got no business, desire going to come, because opportunity going to what? Going to prevail itself every time. Opportunity going to be there. Why? Because darkness is there. Am I right? Unrighteousness is there. Am I right? You're unequally yoked. Am I right? So you're in that situation. Opportunity, desire going to come. So therefore the devil going to tempt you. Amen. You with me? See, so you got to stay away from opportunity so desire won't be there so you won't be tempted. It's just that simple. See, 10 times out of 10, see, people, I told my wife the other day, we were talking about that 15-year-old boy that got killed at Railroad Park. My response to her was, well, don't you remember when we was little kids like that, 15, when street lights came on, we better be in the house. We did. Mama knew where we were. I had joined the Air Force, Brother Frazier, getting ready to go into the Air Force, graduate from high school, but I was still living with my daddy. And my daddy, he whooped me. 18 years old, I thought I was grown. He told me as long as I stay in his house, I was going to do what he told me to do, and that I was still bound by him. But the whole point was, he told me, he gave me a little car, a little raggedy car, but he gave it to me. And he told me, he said, boy, I want you to be home every night, that car by 11 o'clock. I want you to be home by 11 o'clock. You know, here I was, you know, graduating from high school, getting ready to go to the Alpha. Man, 11 o'clock, it's just not getting popping at 11 o'clock. See, he warned me one time. Second time, he beat me. And the point that I'm trying to make is this here. 10 times out of 10, if that boy parenting had been the way parenting would have been, that boy would be alive today. Parents just don't know where children are. And that's the biggest mistake. You know, we allow children 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, stay out 11, 12, 1 o'clock. Children ain't got no business being out that time. But see, when you violate God's word, amen, when you do things not in relationship to the word of God, what we sow is what we're going to reap. Now, y'all may disagree with me, but it's a fact. See, parenting. See, his mind is not developed enough. 15-year-old mind is not developed enough to be able to cope with the world, amen? It's difficult for a grown folk to be able to cope, amen? So, here you go. You've got to avoid that opportunity, amen? That is, don't put yourself in a situation that desire is going to be there, because every time, you're going to fall in temptation. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:15 and Hebrews 2:18. See, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And right in Matthew 4 by that. Because Jesus was tempted the same way. But the only reason why Jesus was tempted was that for him to have gone through it, have to taste all forms of it, in order for him to be the high priest. Yes, Marcus. Yeah, go back to James 1. Yeah, and we can hear this, but it was verse 13. We read where we are. We said, let no man say I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted even, neither tempted he any man. That's it right there. But we hadn't just got to that point. Let no man say we are tempted. See, I am tempted of God. Amen. See, for God cannot be tempted. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. And the reason why he say that, Marcus, is because how can God tempt you to do wrong and then condemn you? You understand what I'm saying? See, one thing about God, Genesis 1:26, God made us in the image, right? John 4:24, what's God's image? God's image is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and what? So it's not God's desire that any of us be condemned. The Bible says he was long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but we all should come toward eternal life. Am I right? So God do not tempt us. We are tempted when we, what? Let opportunity, desire, cause us to be tempted because we refuse to do what God tells us to do in order to preserve that temple. See, reserve that spirituality. And that's the point that we need to understand there. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Okay? Now, let's go a little bit further here. Okay? Let's go a little bit further here in relationship to understanding what he's saying here. For God cannot be tempted with evil. See? And that's what we're saying. God is beyond the area of temptation of being untemptable. The word that's translated occurs nowhere else in the scriptures. See? And here's that word right there. I'm going to give it to you one more time. That word is A-P-E-I-R-A-T-O-S. See, which simply means that that he is familiar with. See, he's experienced with because of Hebrews chapter 4:15. See, he know what it feels like to be tempted. Because he came to him three times, didn't he? Read Matthew 4. He came at Jesus three times. Strong. You understand what I'm saying? So what that word simply means, that he know what it feels like to be tempted, but he do not tempt. But he's familiar. He said in his prayer. See, he was tempted to be that great high priest, that great apostle, in order for him to be the high priest, and we all be priests. You with me? Hebrews 9. See, he had to go through that. That is, for God cannot be tempted with evil. See, another point. Why can't God be tempted with evil? Because God's not evil. I get another point that you want to think about. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, if you continue in the word, see, in order to be his disciples, if you are steadfast, if you abide in the word, if the word control your life and your spirit match up with God's spirit, that you are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, guess what? We won't tempt one another. And we won't be drawn to be tempted. Amen. See, when people get angry with you, or when people get angry with you and then they leave, or people get angry with you and then they fall out, well, something has broke down in relationship to the word, whereby the word ain't working. Y'all with me? Opportunity has broke down. You see, because you can't take something right and make it wrong. Because right gonna stand when everything else is gone. So same way God can't tempt with evil because God is not evil. Well, we're not evil neither. Because we're heirs of God and we're joined heirs of Jesus Christ, right? We're like-minded, am I right? See, we bear the same spirit. We the light. It's easy light, am I right? We commune just like he communes. So when you have that spirit about you, number one, the church can't bring no harm against itself. See, we bring harm against ourselves when we become unequally yoked. When we begin to speak different things. When we have different mindsets. When we go contrary to the word of God. And when you go contrary to the word of God, guess what? It can't be one right answer. You with me? So same way, God can't be tempted with evil. Well, number one, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, if we walk in the light. See, really, when you think about it, brothers and sisters should never fall out. Now, we can disagree, but it shouldn't last long. Because guess what? The word will solve the problem. See, the word will solve the problem if you let it. How many times have you sit down and talk to people and you open up the book and show them in the book what the book say and they look at you and say, well, I don't know. I don't see why. See, you shouldn't even ask those kind of questions because when you do that, number one, you quench the spirit. You're questioning God. This is the perfect law of liberty, am I right? This is not opinionated. We're going to be judged by this book, John 12:48, am I right? So why would you question what the book say? Am I right? See, Noah didn't question God when God told him to build an ark. Well, other than eight people, everybody else did because they didn't do what Noah told them to do. Well, sin brings forth death. Well, sin does. That's the consequences of sin. That's the law of reciprocity of Galatians 6. What you sow, you're going to reap. It's just a principle. That's just something that's going to happen. I mean, it ain't no way around it. You sow toward the flesh, it's condemnation. You sow toward the spirit, everlasting life. Ain't but two choices in life, right or wrong, am I right? Condemnation, truth, am I right? So when you transgress this word here, when you don't do what the Bible tells you, well, number one, you're already condemned. Right or wrong? So because you just don't question God's word. See? Why? Because the word is the light. The word is truth. Am I right? So that's the reason why the Bible said, well, God cannot be. So we cannot be neither. If you do what the Bible tells you to do, we get in situations because we get in the wrong opportunity. Amen. Are we getting the wrong situation? Are we getting the wrong environment? Wherever it may be, we do something that's contrary to the word of God that caused desire to come. Desire don't come just because it's there. Right? Either you're around somebody, you're with somebody, you're doing something, whatever it may be, that caused desire to come. Because we're creatures of what we see, right? We're creatures of what we desire, right? Are we creatures because everybody else is doing it? See, you look at the world today. See, 99% of people that talk about same-sex marriages can't give you not one scripture to back up why it's right or wrong. You know why they accept it? Because the world accepts it. The world accepts it. It's becoming a norm. 30 years ago, it was against norm. It was unacceptable. Because we were more of a moral nation. So since this country has left morality and we have become immoral, well, the world just accepts it. You know, we just accept that just to be a part of society. Even on your job, see, they're telling you, if you're a supervisor, John, if you're a supervisor, Melvin, you better be careful about what you say. Because they will sue you. See, even our insurance policy right here at this church, we got insurance policy on the building. You know what a clause in that policy is? In case any of the ministerial staff is caught in a sexual wrongful nature, it's a clause in there that if the church gets sued, it's covered. It's in there. In case me and Fraser get wild one day. Wow, one day. But see, that's just the way it's going. I'm sorry, Brother Frazier. You're not my type anyway. I didn't say that. But anyway, it's just the way society goes. So it's becoming a norm of life, acceptable. It's just they're just being accepted more than we did 30 years ago. The reason why more 30 years ago, we was a little bit more churchy. I mean, you could leave churches open, couldn't you? People wouldn't break into them, am I right? See, we didn't have to put burglar bars all the way around the windows. We didn't have to put alarms on the church buildings, amen, to keep people out. I mean, you just respected the church, am I right? John, you remember that time you were with me, a man of Kevin here with me. We were out visiting one night and we went by one of the members' houses. They weren't faithful, but we went by to visit with them. And a bunch of fellas were sitting on the porch. And the time they saw me come up, the first thing they tried to do was hide what they were doing. You know, they started putting cans under it and throwing everything under it. And my response is, you ain't got to hide. But the point was, they gave respect. You understand? They're pouring on me now. Whatever. Hey, Reb, you want some? You understand what I'm saying? Because that's just the way society has gone. See, that's just what the devil has done. Yeah, minds are corrupted because we come to a state of immorality. That's just the way the world is going. So I'm saying that to say that here, opportunity is there, right? So desire can come. And when that comes, I'm telling you, brother, temptation is going to be set in relationship. So that was a good question, Mark, in relationship to what you're saying there. In verse 13, let no man say we are tempted, I am tempted of God. Because God cannot tempt us in relationship to that solicitous evil. John, let me go and give you this verse. You wouldn't hear this word. You wouldn't hear when we gave it before. But let me give it to you if you don't mind. That's P-E-I-R-A-Z-O-M-E-N-O-S. And we said that was a present passive participle of the word perazo. That word simply means to solicit or to do evil. That is that he's it's present, see, and it's passive and it's active right now. See, he's not going to say, well, Thursday I'm going to do it. On May the 1st I'm going to do it. He do it all the time, amen. That's something that he continually work at because that's what he's trying to do, is solicit us or to draw us in relationship to us not understanding what is the will of the Lord. All right? And that's what we need to understand. Another word, John, that we didn't give, I want to give it to you again, too, that we talked about is A-P-I-A-P-E-I-R-A-T-O-S. That word simply means that he's experienced with it. See, he just started doing it yesterday. He's been doing it from the beginning of time. Amen. See, 4,000 years has lapsed from the Old Testament, right? And we know 2013, so you're talking about 6,013 years. See, that he's been at this here. See, and that's the whole point that we need to understand. Yes, sir. Hmm. True. That's right. That's right. Well, you would thought that then the Bible do tell us about him that he was one of the sharper ones among the angels. See, but that's what that haughty spirit do. See, that mindset, that's a haughty spirit. That's the reason why. Here we go again. Every day you breathe, every day you wake up. See, you just don't do it on Sunday. You should be continually submitting to his word. See, know you're not that your body is the temple of the spirit. I mean, just continually submit. See, you can't put enough of the word in. I'm telling you, bro, brother, you can't put enough in because, see, you don't know that adversary, that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, he just started. When he said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, he began long before the end. And he's experienced at this end. See, he know what to do. He know when to get us in situations where he know he get us there. He got us. Amen? Amen. Have you ever said this in your life? I shouldn't have done that. I'm serious. You go back and examine your life and say, man, if I just wouldn't have done that. You understand what I'm saying? You go back and reflect that if, you know, see, I can turn back the hand of time. Now, I know you can't do it, but examination, when you think about life and things that you have went through, it's like people say, well, you know, if I just get better, if I get out of this situation, Lord, just help me get out of this situation. You ever say that? See? See, that ain't no good if you don't put substance with it. See, you got to put substance with Hebrews 11:1. See, substance is faith. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things. See, when you make statements like that and you don't put nothing to back it back up to help you not do it, it ain't going to do you no good. You with me? See, and the devil know that, don't he? See, he know that. See, and he know that ain't nothing but lip service. See, and that's the whole point that we need to understand. And then he goes on to say, and he himself tempt no man. See, not only is God himself not successful in evil through temptation, he tempts no one. See, untemperable himself. See, God don't tempt us. See, we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust. See, that's what he said here. Look at here. See, and that's the point that we need to understand. See, when things happen in our life, who do we blame? But most people blame who? Everybody else. See, young people say, well, it's my mom and dad's fault. Well, it's your fault. It's the school's fault. School ain't teaching. Let me tell you something. School ain't got to teach you nothing. Give you a book. You can learn all you can. Am I right? If you got the right mindset, am I right? Teacher asked me one last semester. She said, Mr. Lyle, would you get anything out of the class? I said, yeah. Man, I learned some stuff I ain't never known before. Because my mindset. You give me a book, I start reading. I can learn stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I operated a business for 15 years. I'm taking a class, the introduction to business. I found something. I said, if I'd known this while I operate my business, maybe I'd still be in business. I'm serious. Knowledge is powerful. Amen. I'm serious. So the point I'm saying, you sit there in school and you got a book. Well, the teacher got her responsibility, but you got a responsibility too. To yourself. You got to get it too, am I right? See, so you start reading page one, keep on reading. Regardless of what she teach, you still got it, am I right? Because one thing you get up here, you can't take this from you. So you sit here and blame all you want. You can blame the school, you can blame the principal, you can blame whoever you want to blame. But the end result, it's you. See, same thing with spirituality. See, I mean, you can come here and not pay attention, be antagonistic. Well, you can't blame the father. It's your fault, amen. Because see, if it comes out the book and if it's true, well, what more can you ask for? You can't ask for nothing. And that's what he's saying here. When he says, and he himself tempt no man. He don't tempt us. The only thing that God do, let me tell you what God do. God legislate a law. Like Adam and Eve. He just legislated a law. He told Adam and Eve, oh, this God, you may freely eat, but if you're good and evil, thou shalt eat that day, you'll fall, you shall surely what? That's all he do. Now, they had a choice. He didn't tempt them. He didn't tell them what to do. They made that choice. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. Who made the choice? They made that choice. Abraham, who made the choice? And I go on and on and on. God ain't never gave two choices. So you have two choices, you got confusion. Amen? You got choice. Choice can be dangerous. Especially when you make wrong choices. Am I right? People hook up with wrong women. Women hook up with wrong men. Am I right? People get in situations. Am I right? See? So the whole point that I'm saying, God ain't never gave you a multiplicity of choices. Because see, if he gave you a multiplicity of choice, how he gonna justify you? How he gonna judge you? Am I right? So what I'm saying here, see, the only thing God do is legislate. Then our responsibility, take what he said, am I right? Put it in the temple, amen. Put it around good environment so it can work, amen. People who are going to harvest, people who are going to take care of the seed, amen. That you can build, that you can grow on, amen. Am I right? That's what community is, amen. See, let me tell you something. When you think about the Bible, see, when the Bible says, when the whole church come together in one place, see, he said that for a reason. Number one, when we sing, we encourage one another because we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, amen. Did y'all not know that? See, that's the reason why it's an individual thing. The reason why we don't do it as an entertaining purpose. It's an individual thing that we do when we encourage one another, am I right? That's what we do, am I right? Well, how are you going to do it when you don't commune? How am I going to encourage you and you ain't here? Amen? How am I going to do that when you don't participate? Amen? That all of a sudden you pop up one day out the blue sky, you ain't been here in two or three Sundays, you don't know what the word is saying, and then somebody else tell you, well, you just like Romans 16, 17, you are simple-minded. Amen? See? And when you're simple-minded, you're drawn away. You're tossed. See? What about, because the word of God can't work in your life. See? So when God do, God said, hey, this is the way it is. This is where it's going to be. And that's the reason why we got the perfect law of liberty. Amen. So you can know what the right way and the wrong way to do things. And that's what he's saying here. He says here, and he himself tempt no man. He don't tempt us, but we're drawn away. We did verse 13. We ain't got that far yet. You see what I'm saying? See, go back to verse 13. I'm sorry. See, let no man say we are tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted. That's where we are right there. For God cannot be tempted, okay, with evil. Neither tempt he any man. See, neither tempt he any man. Why? Because he's not evil. Amen. See, so we say, let no man say. The reason why he say, because that mindset, because we are easily people who like to blame to somebody else. See, what you need to do in order for you to correct it, the blame got to be at you. See, before you correct in the error, you got to realize that you're wrong. Am I right? See, if you don't realize you're wrong, well, you're not going to correct it. See, that's spiritual maturity. See, I sit here and say, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Am I right? And that's the point that we need to understand in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, let me hit one more thing. Verse 14, where he talks about, but each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, that's verse 14. Okay? 3 points I want you to see. When one is tempted, number one, he's drawn away, right? Look at your sheet here. He's drawn away, right? Am I right? It's right there on that first section right there. He's drawn away. Number two, by his own lust. I gave you a definition of what lust is. It is a strong desire for something. Now, underline that word something, because see, I don't know what your something is. Everybody got different somethings. Amen. But you do know what beset you. Amen. Amen. You know. Whether you want to admit it or what. See, you know. See, the problem is you don't want to identify what that something is. Because you want to play the name blame. And when you play the name blame, see, you want to blame for something else. Really, it's your fault. Amen. So, number one is, he is drawn away by his own lust. See, by his own lust. Then that word entice, and let me give you that word. That word entice simply means an opportunity, encouragement to satisfy the desire. See, you're drawn, but when you're drawn to something, it got to be there in order for you to be drawn to it. You ever say, I'm going to the mall, but I ain't going to buy nothing. You ever say that? Well, how can you go to the mall and not buy nothing when opportunity is there to entice you? Amen. Am I right? So if you got money problem, you stay away from the what? Mall. Because you don't want the opportunity to be there. Am I right? See, and that's what that means. But let me give you that word. That I want you to see that word. Here we go. It's E-X-E-L-K. E-X-E-L-K-O-M-E-N-O-S. E-X-E-L-K-O-M-E-N-O-S is the Greek of the word E-K out of. That was the word E-K out of, like ekklesia, E-K out of, see, out of, see, in the other part is H-E-L-K-O-M-A-I, that is out of to draw. You want to start over? Okay, here we go. That's E-X-E-L-K-O-M-E. N-O-S. Now that's one word. Now I want you to separate that word to E-K, and then you're gonna put that mean out of. See, he gonna draw us out of, right? Something. You with me? See, he gonna draw us out of something. Something got to be there for him to draw us out of. See? And that something is lust, that desire, right, that we have. Amen. See, his own lust. See, and then we are enticed. See, and that word is D-E-L-E-A, D-E-L-E-A, Z-O-M-E-N-O-S. Which is a present passive word too, would mean desire never leave us. See, we created with desire. Desire can be good and can be bad. You can desire the word. That's good, am I right? See, you can desire worship. That's good, am I right? See, you can desire to want to be a faithful Christian. That's good, am I right? So you can lust at that. When I woke up this morning, I lust to be here. Didn't you? See, I begin around 6:30 this morning, do the thing that I need to do. To begin to wake and shake. They begin to say, come on, let's go. What you going to eat? Cereal. What you going to eat? A muffin. What you going to eat? What you going to eat? You want milk? What you going to eat? Because I knew that we had to be here. Amen. See, because that's what my desire was. That's what my lust was. I was walking around. All right, come on, y'all. Do what you want to do. I knew the Lord there. Amen. See, I want to commune. Am I right? So I ain't working this morning. I said, well, I don't know where I wanted to go. Yesterday morning I did. I had to be somewhere at 9 o'clock. You talking about it was raining? About 7 o'clock, man, it was boom-a-loom. And you know what? When I heard the rain out there, I said, ooh, it's raining. I ain't getting out that bad. Well, I wasn't that wrong. I just coughed to make myself feel good. You know what I'm saying? 8 o'clock, it started raining a little bit. Doctor said, are you going? I said, oh, I don't know. Because I really didn't want to go. But see, it really didn't matter where I went. I should have been there, but it didn't matter. There wouldn't be no love lost. You understand what I'm saying? So, but I didn't have that desire to want to go. So, you understand what I'm saying? And you've been that way. You see what I'm talking about? But this was a different desire. So that word desire can be good, it can be bad. See, because we're just born with desire. See, we like nice clothes, don't we? We like nice homes, don't we? We like to live nice, don't we? You like to drive nice cars, amen? A nice car is a whole lot better than one you're going to ride down the road halfway and break down. Who like to be broke down? Nobody. But the only problem with desire, you have to learn how to control it. You don't let desire control you. You let through the word. No, you're not your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is there, am I right? So you let the word of God control your mindset, amen. So you don't let opportunity take over so lust can take over. Because the devil gonna call us out of. So he gotta call us out of something. See? See, something got to be there for it to work. He know that. Adam and Eve. See, he called them because he quoted verbatim what God said. Did he not? He knew the scripture better than they did. Jesus the same way. Did he tell him he said, if thou be the Son of God? Did he knew that Jesus had an age for 40 days and 40 nights? Did he say, he said, I command these stones be turned to what? He knew what the problem was. He was hungry. So he used that opportunity, didn't he? Am I right? And think about your own life. See? I had a knife for S10. I'll never forget that. I used to like that S10. It was a knife for S10. I just took it to Jim Burke to get the oil change. You know, I'm telling you. And I just happened to go look at some big Silverado trucks. And a salesman saw me. He said, you like that truck? I said, yeah, it's nice. But I'm not interested. I got a truck. I went back to pick my truck up. Went to the window. Paid for the oil change. And the lady said, I don't have your key. The salesman got your key. I said, what? The salesman? I don't know. But he's up there. Told me his name. I went up there. I said, you got my key? Yeah. I got good news for you. What? I got you approved for a knife. I said, I asked you to approve me for nothing. He done went and looked on my record and saw everything. Then my mind got to working on me. Well, you know you got to haul all them boxes. All them t-shirt boxes. You can't get that much of an S10. Huh? If I only knew. See, it doubled my payments. You understand what I'm saying? But I said all that to say this here. See what desire do for you? And Buddy Brown, don't you think I ain't thinking about that many days, brother, when I struggle to make them payments on that car because things changed. See, when I bought it, I could, but things changed. See, that's what the devil do, don't you? The devil gets that down left field, don't you? He'll dang that carry at you, ain't you? Then he gets you and got you where he want to get you, amen. Then what he'll do, he'll drop you like a hot potato. Then most of y'all who got jobs, y'all say, well, the side of the problem is, well, I work extra hours. and I miss Wednesday night Bible class. That's what he wants you to do. Or Sunday morning. Because he keep you from growing, amen. He keep you from getting the word. See, he got you where he wants you to get you. Am I right? See, think about your life. And think about, see, he gonna draw EKS out of, but some got to be there, amen. And that's how the whole thing evolved. And as I thought about it, ain't that something? I need to go find him. But it's over with now. See, it's over with now. Huh? Go ahead, bro. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good desire. Good desire. Mm-hmm. 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 That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, lust can be good or bad, right? I mean, not lust. Yeah, desire. But see, desire. See, you can desire good and you can desire bad. Amen. But bad always become lustful. You understand what I'm saying? See, bad is when you make wrong choices. See, when you fail to do what 1st and 2nd Corinthians 6:19 said. See, he warns us in 2nd Corinthians 6:19 of controlling desire and lust by telling us don't be unequally yoked. And then he goes on and breaks it down, don't he? See, between an unbeliever, believer, darkness, light, righteousness, unrighteousness. He goes on. To come ye out from among them, be ye separate, and I turn not, tell you not, handle not. But see, desire, but see, AK, see, he calls us out of. See, a good desire, the bad desire to set up lust. See, that is opportunity is there. And see, that's the problem. See, we get ourselves in an opportunity set, right? That caused that bad desire to work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, and that's where the EK, he out of. So you got to be out of something. See, it just don't happen. Like what Flip Wilson used to say? See, nah. Old Flip used to say that. See, and that's the point. But most people, Brother Brown, just don't see that. See, we sit back and we let. See, I go another way. See, anytime you defy God's word, and I go a little bit further. See, when you look at the way God set up mankind, and Mel and I were talking about that today. See, when God made Adam and Eve, everything that God made was good, wasn't it? He gave man everything they needed, didn't he? To keep the garden, didn't he? Am I right? So what happened is, see, when God made Adam and Eve, God put everything in motion for man to be perfect. See, it was never God's desire for man to sin. See, man was going to be perfect. But when they sin, he had to make provision. So I'm saying that to say it here. When you look at God and you study the Bible, see, and you see how God set up things the way things are supposed to be in relationship to mankind. See, God gave man everything that man needed. So therefore, when you violate it, when you think about marriage, leave father, leave mother, twain together, be one, the head, mother, head, the husband, the wife, he's submissive. See, when you violate that and go out of that, see, you got a problem. I know you got to go, Josh. See, you're going to have a problem. You understand what I'm saying? And that's when that sinful lust entered in. Because opportunity has been put forth because you have violated God's will to what somebody else's will. See, it's like society we live in today. See, women want equal rights. Women want this. Women want this. You can't have it. You just can't have it. It's like a woman president. A Christian can't vote for a woman president. God ain't put her there to do that. She can't be over man. It's just that principle. That woman always got to be submissive. She can't be in that authority. I know some might not like what I'm saying, but that's the truth. That's God's word, right or wrong. But what we have done, we have evolved out of that, haven't we? And I love, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say I love women. But the point that I'm saying, you still got to go by the God's word. Am I right? In relationship to understanding what is God's will. Okay? All right, next week we're going to hit 15. Y'all got that? Let me find one more scripture on Peter, and then we're going to dismiss. He talks about that. See, you go to 1 Peter 3:7. We're really 3:1. We talk about likewise, you wives be in subjection to your own husband. That if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word of be warned by the conversation of the wives. Just drop it down to verse 7 for time. Say, yeah, likewise, you husbands dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the what? Weaker vessel. That's why God made her. Amen. Not that God would be in derogatory toward the woman, but woman has a role. She has a role as a wife. Husband has a role as a what? I mean, all men that look like men ain't men. It takes to be a man, you got to be responsible, amen. A man gonna take care of his family, amen. I don't care what it takes to do. He gonna take care of his family, amen. To be the head, you gonna have to be responsible, amen. And really, if you think about it, what God said, it's not that wife income that keeps that household going. It's that man's responsibility to take care of the whole household. Amen? And that woman's supposed to stay at home and take care of them children. Amen? And take care of that house. Amen? And be a helpmeet to that man. Am I right? And that's the way it's supposed to be? Am I right? My daddy wasn't even a Christian, but he told me a long time ago, boy, don't buy nothing depending on nobody else's income. Because you can't control that. You buy a car, you better make sure you can pay for it. You mess around talking about, I'm going to buy it with me and my wife income. And she might one day tell you you can't have it. Then what you going to do? Amen? But that ain't the point. The point is, it's that man's responsibility. Am I right? But when you go out of that opportunity, you're EKing, you out of something that's going to cause lust to be what? Desired. And that's what's wrong with the world today. Everybody out of control. Am I right? Children the same way. The Bible says beat your children. Spout not the rod. Didn't say that? You run around here talking about 10, 9. I need to take the belt and whoop you. Am I right? For you saying that. You supposed to whoop your children, amen? Spank your children, amen? Spell a rod, spoil a child, am I right? Am I right? That's the Bible, amen? Am I right? Go back and read Proverbs sometime. Read it sometime. Read the responsibility of husband toward a child, amen? And then you see. But see, when you don't do that, am I right? I'm going to say one more thing. Y'all remember the case, you remember Melanie, when the little grandbaby caused his grandmama and granddaddy got killed over there in College Hills? And me and my wife were talking about that the other day. It's just like Jeremiah. You know, we see Jeremiah so sweet, don't we? We've been having him ever since he was a little baby. We just love him to death. See, grandparents sometimes let children get away with a little bit more than what they should. You understand what I'm saying? And then, that's where that little boy was. His grandparents saw him that way. But his mom and daddy couldn't do nothing with him. To the point, they put him out. But grandma and granddad said, oh, no, it's my baby. But see, they jumped in a road where they shouldn't have jumped in. And up, they wanted to get got killed. He was selling drugs. People were looking for him. And they killed him. Because you got out of the road. See? And that's going to happen every time. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to happen every time. Well, folks, come back in. I'm out of time. And we appreciate you. Let us pray.